Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. Today I'm going to cover naproxen. Brand name of this medication is naprosyn. I probably most commonly hear patients call naproxen Aleve is another brand name that goes with it as well. Full disclosure, I have talked about ibuprofen in the past, as well as the entire class of NSAIDs. So, there's some of the information here that is similar to that. But I did want to talk about some specifics that I think are really important with naproxen as well. So first off, what is naproxen? It is an NSAID, non-steroidal. You'll often hear it referred to as kind of shorthand. And it is used primarily for anti-inflammatory, pain syndromes, fever potentially. And those are really the big three. And it is available over the counter. So that presents some challenges as a provider, as a pharmacist, as a nurse. You've got to recognize that people pick up these medications on their own and they start taking them and they often don't report it to a healthcare professional. Okay? So I can't stress it enough. You've got to get medication lists updated and you've got to ask patients whether they're taking over-the-counter medications and try to get that teased out, because it certainly does happen. There is variations, and I think I might have forgot to mention it with the ibuprofen podcast, but there is variations with these medications and over-the-counter composition. So you've got something like Advil PM or Aleve PM. This is going to have an additional medication in it, and it's usually an older anticholinergic sedative type medication, because it's supposed to help with sleep as well. Oftentimes it's diphenhydramine, but it could be others as well. So very, very important to encourage patients to look at the back of the label, because the active ingredients will be in there, and then obviously discuss that with their healthcare professional and make sure that we don't have interactions or disease state contraindications or whatever the case may be. So just really, really common sense, important things that definitely get missed in clinical practice and can cause a lot of pain and suffering for our patients there. So Aleve or naproxen is, again, inhibits COX-1 and COX-2. Again, that cyclooxygenase is the name of that enzyme, and that ultimately reduces the formation of various prostaglandins. And from a physiological standpoint, those prostaglandins are responsible for sending pain signals, fever signals, and inflammation as well. In addition, thromboxane A2 is inhibited, and when we do that with that medication, that can prevent platelet aggregation, so the blood gets a little bit thinner, potentially, and that's why we have bleed risk with NSAIDs, of course. So, naproxen, I wanted to spend a minute or two on specific, unique things with naproxen compared to other NSAIDs. So first off, I always traditionally compare naproxen to ibuprofen. And that's, I think I do that just because they're both over-the-counter NSAIDs. And biggest difference is naproxen has a significantly longer half-life. So that means we get to have less frequent doses throughout the day, which can be a really, really nice thing for patients, for sure. In addition to that, the other really notable thing from a clinical perspective, with the data we have at this point, if a patient has significant cardiovascular risk, previous MI, stroke, things of that nature, naproxen does tend to have the lowest risk compared to other NSAIDs. So that might be a situation where if an NSAID is absolutely necessary, we're not going to get by with using some other analgesic or some, you know, non-drug intervention. If we have to use an NSAID in a patient that's at high risk of cardiovascular problems, naproxen might tend to be on the safest of all the other NSAIDs there. So those are a few kind of clinical practice pearls with naproxen and things that you might see and why you might see naproxen used compared to other agents there. Adverse effect profile, going to be very similar to, you know, the NSAID podcast that I had in general, and of course ibuprofen too. GI bleed risk, so again, take the medication with food, and, you know, GERD symptoms can happen and things like that too. Make sure that we are adequately protecting the GI tract. If it is a patient at high risk for GI bleed, and we absolutely have no other option than to use an NSAID, that might be a situation that we use GI protection, GI prophylaxis, intentionally. Now, in clinical practice, you got to pay attention, because if you only do a 7-day course of naproxen or a 14-day course or whatever the case may be, and you add on GI protection during that time, make sure that we take it away. If it's not needed long term, make sure we take away that GI protective medication, whether it's, you know, omeprazole or pantoprazole, whatever the case may be. Make sure that medication is stopped if the naproxen is stopped as well. That's definitely a target in my practice when I'm trying to slow down and minimize the burden of polypharmacy. Same thing with CHF exacerbation, you know, and that risk. When you see that diuretic added, recognize that NSAIDs could contribute and worsen edema. And if it does that, and we, again, have a short course, you know, 2 weeks, 4 weeks of an NSAID, and we have to have a diuretic because the edema side effect is bad, when we stop that NSAID, hopefully we can get by without that diuretic as well. Get another little tip on trying to minimize polypharmacy and just paying attention to the way medications are added and the adverse effect profile of new medications that are started. Renal issues, patients will be at risk for this with any NSAID. That risk can go up as we add on other medications, which I'll mention in the drug interaction section. Cardiovascular risks, that's kind of a class effect with NSAIDs. But like I mentioned, if one is going to be necessary and the patient does have significant cardiac risks, that is a reason why you might see naproxen used preferentially. Elevations in blood pressure can certainly happen with NSAIDs as well. And I did mention an update with pregnancy and NSAIDs in the ibuprofen podcast, so I can refer you back to that one if you want more details on that. I did want to also mention specifically, we really like to avoid NSAIDs in our geriatric patient population. Between the fluid retention, the renal risks, and the GI bleed risk, that is a huge, huge problem with using NSAIDs in geriatrics. So we really got to make sure that, you know, we're doing our due diligence in trying, you know, non-pharmacological interventions for pain and things like that before we go straight to the NSAID class. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll finish up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, ambulatory care, geriatrics, medication therapy management, or NAPLEX, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, STORE. Got a growing list of resources, entire packages, over, you know, 1,000 plus questions, practice questions, really nice referrals we've had from people as well who thought the content has been valuable and certainly helped them pass their board exam. So again, meded101.com/store. If you're another healthcare professional, nurse, PA, nurse practitioners, we've got a growing list of resources, books on various topics, case studies, clinical pearls, drug interactions. Go check out all those resources at meded101.com/store. All right, finishing up on drug interactions. So, you know, you've got to think about bleed risk. You absolutely have to think about that. So, you know, baby aspirin, clopidogrel, prasugrel, some of those antiplatelet agents. In addition, you've got to think about patients on long-term anticoagulation, whether it be apixaban, warfarin, rivaroxaban, heparin, and enoxaparin. All these agents that lower increase the risk for bleeding are going to potentially have a cumulative effect, and you know, increased risk for GI bleed and other types of bleeding goes up as we add a drug like naproxen on board with some of these agents. So I mentioned the renal risks associated with naproxen and NSAIDs in general. When we add on other medications that can have renal impacts, such as loop diuretics, thiazide diuretics, ACE inhibitors, ARBs, those can have a cumulative effect and increase that risk for renal impairment. Hypertension, so particularly at higher doses, naproxen can potentially raise blood pressure. So that's going to obviously oppose anything we're trying to do with blood pressure lowering medications. Lithium is one that I look out for. If I see a person on lithium, I'm definitely going to ask about over-the-counter agents. And obviously, naproxen is one of those that can raise lithium levels. GI bleed risk, additive medications, obviously the anticoagulants, antiplatelets I mentioned before. But in addition to that, there's other meds that can cause GI upset, GI bleed issues, oral bisphosphonates, alendronate, ibandronate, resedronate, things like that. And then the corticosteroids, you know, your prednisones and things of that nature. Taken orally can cause some GI irritation and potentially increase the risk of bleed and or ulceration. All right, so I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Share us with friends, colleagues, leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That greatly helps us grow the audience and helps people learn more about medications in general. So I'm really, really appreciative to those of you who have done that. Sign up at reallifepharmacology.com. Get that free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. And of course, support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to sign off for today. Hope you have a great rest of your day.